Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sean. It is Thursday, September 29th, 2016, and you are listening to episode number 20 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. On tonight's show, we are going to be talking all about WWE Clash of Champions, the first ever Raw exclusive pay-per-view. What did we think? How did it go? Find out coming up tonight here on the show. Also, as always, WWE and probably some TNA news and rumors in the mix tonight. Gonna head on over to Raw and a very special SmackDown results and review where our host of the show, Big T, was in attendance. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, it's time for the host of the show to join us. Here he is from Cleveland, Ohio, Big T.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We are here. We are live. Thank you, Sean, for that wonderful introduction. We're here for episode number 20 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast, and couldn't be more excited. First off, ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening on iTunes Podomatic, or if you're watching on YouTube, make sure you like the video, comment on it, and subscribe. Our number's moving on up. And if you're listening on iTunes and Podomatic, make sure that you leave a 5-star rating and subscribe to the podcast on there. And let's keep this growing to the biggest and best professional wrestling podcast around today. Now, I'm going to tell you about my wonderful week, and nice. SmackDown on Tuesday night. What an incredible, incredible experience it was. SmackDown Live in Cleveland delivered as, by far, I would say, the best weekly show of the year between Raws and SmackDowns. This was probably the best cable television show of the entire year. Easily the best SmackDown I've seen in probably the last 5 years, maybe more. It was just absolutely incredible to see the title match, to see, you know, just everything that we've seen, and it was just a wonderful experience to be there live and witness such an incredible spectacle. I mean, The Miz is doing great as Intercontinental Champion. You know, Dolph Ziggler, Ambrose, Cena, Styles, seeing all of them in person. I mean, you can't really ask for anything more. And to be part of such a great SmackDown, I'm truly blessed. And I gotta tell you, if you missed it, whenever SmackDown goes on the WWE Network in 30 days, when this episode from September 27th goes on the network, check it out if you missed it, because it is worth the watch. It keeps you going from start to finish, and it'll give Sean and I a lot to talk about tonight, and I'm excited to do so. Also, last Friday night, 6 days ago, I had the honor and privilege of being in attendance for Johnny Gargano's last independent show. And that was an emotional night. It was a great night. It was a happy night. It was, you know, it was emotional. It was a roller coaster ride. Johnny Gargano, just one of the greatest indie wrestlers ever and a legend in his own time. And just to see the way, you know, he bid farewell to the independent scene. And I gotta tell you, just sitting there in the front row, because I had a front row seat for it all. And after his match, you know, he was giving high fives to everybody in attendance, so I had my hand stuck out. And, you know, Johnny Gargano, when he got to me, he reached out and he gave me a hug. And he said in my ear, He said, thank you so much for supporting me over, you know, the 11 years I've been here in the Indies. And I hope that you'll continue supporting me, you know, as I move up to the WWE, move up in this huge chapter of my life. And I told him, you know, I'll be there supporting him. I'll be there rooting for him every match, just like I was when he was on the indie circuit. And, you know, just to share that hug with Johnny Gargano and to also talk with him after the show, to get pictures with him, to get, you know, pictures with him and his wife, Candice LeRae, you know, get pictures of them together. That was another fantastic, fantastic thing. And, you know, just all of it, I couldn't ask for a better way to spend my Friday night last week. And, you know, I hope that Johnny does get treated fairly in the WWE. I really do. I want to see him succeed. There's no doubt about it. I want to see him succeed and, you know, be the best that he could be. Which I believe he will do that. But, guys, what I do gotta tell you is, you know, through all that, and the whole Johnny Gargano thing, like I explained on my Clash of Champions review, which I'll have linked down below if you guys want to watch that and give it a listen. That Johnny, that night, you know, chatting with Johnny Gargano and, you know, just that whole emotional night, it changed my life. It changed my output and how I look at things and how, you know, these guys and girls really do bust their ass. And it was just something that I can't really even put into words. So, you know, you go from a night like that and then you move on to SmackDown Live. And we know how SmackDown hasn't been the greatest show, you know, for WWE in the past years. But ever since the draft, they've been getting a lot better. And just to see them hit the ultimate high that they did on Tuesday night, it was just so incredible. And they're doing everything right, okay? Like, you take this for example. Raw's women's scene. You got Sasha, Charlotte, and Bayley. If you're not named Charlotte, Sasha, or Bayley, you are not featured on Raw. Plain and simple. Just Nia Jax squashing jobbers, but that's pretty much it. Other than that, you're not really featured on Monday Night Raw in the women's division. SmackDown, on the other hand, you look at what they got going on Tuesday night. You know, you got Nikki Bella and Naomi against Natalya and Carmella in a tag match. And then you got something so simple with Becky Lynch coming down to the ring during her entrance and Alexa Bliss attacking her from behind and, you know, just leaving her laying. That gets you excited and invested for the women's match at No Mercy. Just like with the Miz and Dolph Ziggler, that career stipulation versus Miz's title. That gives intrigue to the match. The triple threat title match after what happened on SmackDown in the one-on-one title match with Ambrose and Styles. That gets you invested for the triple threat match at No Mercy. So it's like SmackDown knows how to build toward their pay-per-view and they know what they want to do. So I gotta say, SmackDown has been edging out Raw big time, but I just wanted to give those few little examples of how SmackDown is doing things right compared to Raw doing things the wrong way. So I gotta say, SmackDown's got it on point. SmackDown's doing great work.
Yeah, but Raw's gonna have Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah, I mean, come on, dude. And he's feuding with Jericho all because Jericho called him Ashton Kutcher.
Raw is just a disaster.
Wow. Oh, by the way, Sean, I just got a message from our buddy Evan. He wants to come on and talk Clash of Champions with us and stuff.
Okay. It's about that time, so let's head on over to WWE Clash of Champions presented by Monday Night Raw 2016. Clash of Champions was live from Indianapolis, Indiana. That's here in the USA on September 25th, 2016, this past Sunday. And it was at the Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So what happened at the show? I'm about to tell you. In the kickoff show match, we had the, whatever you want to call her, insert your name here, Nia Jax defeated Alicia Fox in a singles match for 4 minutes and 55 seconds. Good golly. And in the first match of the main card, we had the New Day, Big E, and Kofi Kingston, the tag team champions, defend their championships along with Xavier Woods against Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson, the club, in a tag team match for the WWE Tag Team Championships in a match that lasted 6 minutes and 45 seconds that saw the New Day retain and achieve a 400-day status as tag team champions. Very impressive feat by the New Day. And in the cruiserweight division, we had the new WWE cruiserweight champion, TJ Perkins, the champion who defended against Brian Kendrick in a singles match for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship that was pretty solid. It lasted 10 minutes and 31 seconds to see the champion TJ Perkins defeat the former tag team champion Brian Kendrick by submission. And in the finale of the best of seven series with Cesaro versus Sheamus, it was all tied up 3-3 going into this match here at Clash of Champions. And the final match lasted 16 minutes and 36 seconds only to end up being stopped by the referee, leaving no winner. So no winner, no contest in the Cesaro versus Sheamus best of seven series. Leaves a lot more questions than answers. Not a great way to end something on a pay-per-view, if you ask me. It seems like a bit of a rip-off, but in something that Big T and many Jericho fans were happy about, Chris Jericho defeated the up-and-comer Sami Zayn in a singles match that lasted 15 minutes and 22 seconds at Clash of Champions. And in another championship match here at the pay-per-view, we had the WWE Women's Champion Charlotte, along with her sidekick Dana Brooke, versus Bayley versus Sasha Banks in a triple threat match for the WWE Raw Women's Championship. And that ended with Charlotte, the champion, retaining by defeating Bayley, I believe by pinfall. Roman Reigns, he uncrowned the United States champion Rusev along with his new wife Lana in a singles match for the WWE United States Championship in a match that lasted 17 minutes and 7 seconds. Roman Reigns is the new WWE United States champion. And in the main event of 2016 Clash of Champion presented by Raw, Kevin Owens, the WWE Universal Champion, took on the challenger Seth Rollins in a match that lasted 25 minutes and 7 seconds to see Kevin Owens retain his championship with much controversy as a result of multiple referees and interference by Chris Jericho. All in all, it was an interesting match, but the ending was really crappy, if you ask me. So that's how the main event ended up. Kevin Owens is still the WWE Universal Champion, Roman Reigns is the new U.S. champion. Charlotte is still the women's champion. The New Day are still tag team champions, and TJ Perkins is still the new cruiserweight champion. Clash of 2016. I haven't given my rating yet on this show, but, you know, I'm typically very generous when it comes to ratings. But as far as this one goes, I don't even remember what I was doing, but what I was doing was more interesting because I was barely even watching this. That's how bad it was. I'm just going to give it a 4. I mean, that's a failing grade. It was a real stinker of a show. So that's my 2 cents, Big T. Maybe you're a bit more optimistic with Raw's first ever pay-per-view, but for me, I was like, wow, this is just hard to get through.
Well, for once, I'm definitely more optimistic. I remember on the Night of Champions review when you gave it a 6, and I know I gave it a 10.
I don't even remember that. That's when I was coming down with my cold that night.
So yeah.
I'll end up giving it a 5, right in the middle there of my 2.
For me, it was kind of hard because it's like, I just had to throw a number out there last minute because I remember I got totally kicked off the stream and you had to end it before the whole show, you know, would have went down. So you did a great job closing that out that night. But, you know, for me, Alicia Fox and Nia Jax, I could care less about. To me, you know, it didn't really matter, you know, who won, you know, or who lost, because I just didn't care about either woman and I didn't care about the match. But Nia Jax wins, remains undefeated. It's like, who cares? Anderson and Gallows, they completely got buried. They got completely buried on Sunday night. Well, it was the start. Wait until you hear about what happened on Raw on Monday. But Sunday was the start of the Gallows-Anderson burial. And New Day retained. I'm glad it happened because now that I found out that the New Day has a chance to beat Demolition's record of 478 or 479 days, whatever it is. Now that they have a chance to break that record, I want them to break it. Once they break Demolition's record, then I want them to drop the titles at that point. I just want them to break Demolition's record because I always like to see records be broken. So that's one thing. You know, I'm just trying to think of the rest of what happened on the show. Jericho's match with Sami Zayn, obviously one of the best, matches of the night. Trying to think what else. The women's title match, you guys know how I feel. I'm not even, you know, getting involved in it. I love Sasha. I hate Charlotte. That's it. End of story. So you know how I feel about that. Rusev and Roman Reigns. Of course they had to start burying Rusev and give it back to Roman Reigns, right? And then basically the main event. The Cruiserweight title match was good. That was good as well, but, yeah, you know, just the main event with that bullcrap ending, like, okay, we know full well, because I reported the rumor here on this show about 2 months ago that Rollins is going to take over Balor's schedule because Balor got hurt. Or Owens would take over Balor. It was something along those lines. I can't remember exactly because it's been so long, but either way, the gist of the story is that yeah, it would end up being Jericho and Owens. Yeah, Rollins would take over Balor. That's right. And then Jericho and Owens and Rollins would have a triple threat Hell in a Cell match. And, you know, then afterward, I believe, because Sean was saying something about it, and I heard it back in this previous rumor, too, that Jericho could be leaving after Hell in a Cell. And it had all these different dimensions to it. And I'm like, okay, rumors are rumors. We know some are right, some are wrong. But I'm like, this is so far, because this is like the day after SummerSlam when this rumor came out. And I'm like, this is so far ahead of Hell in a Cell. You know, how did they already know? We know plans in WWE change all the time. So I'm like, I'm not even really going to worry about this. But so far, with the way the main event ended with, you know, the ref getting knocked out, then Jericho coming out and helping Kevin Owens and all that craziness, I'm like, wow, they're really going to go with this. And I was thinking of so many better ways that they could have done it, because they really could have done it way better than how they did. They could have had Owens and Jericho ambush Rollins the next night on Raw. Because let's face it, people, why would you want to sabotage a pay-per-view main event? You know, you want people to subscribe to the network and be paying subscribers of your network. You don't want to sabotage it. And that's what I don't understand, why WWE wants to sabotage the freaking network by having a main event get ruined. Owens ends up winning, and you know, that's it. They could have did this on Raw. They could have made Night of Champions. They could have made the first ever Kevin Owens Seth Rollins match a classic, but they didn't do it. And it pisses me off that Chris Jericho's talent is basically being used, because that's what Jericho was being. Jericho was being used to get Kevin Owens over. That's all Jericho is. He's being used. He's a pawn. And it's sad that that's all the WWE thinks of a first ballot Hall of Famer like Y2J Chris Jericho. That is sad. WWE should think more of Jericho, think more highly of Jericho. In fact, Chris Jericho should be the one with the title around his waist right now, not Kevin Owens. I'll tell you that. That's a fact. And that's not just me being a fan. You could say, oh, well, Big T, you're so biased. No, I'm not biased. I'm speaking a fact. Jericho is doing way better work. Jericho is putting on way better matches than Kevin Owens is. I mean, come on, people. You have to see this right here through my eyes and understand. Jericho should be holding that title. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, after all that, with them totally screwing up their main event finish, with them burying the club, with them, you know, doing all the other, having, putting the U.S. title on Roman Reigns, just the way they're booking things, having Charlotte retain the women's title, you know, like I said, I just threw a number out there on Sunday night because I had to throw something out there quick. I didn't really have time to think because I was in a panic about the stream ending. But I watched this back again. I really dissected it. I've had days to think. And the best part of Night of Champions, or Night of Champions, Clash of Champions, was seeing Stephanie in her black leather pants. That was the best part of Clash of Champions. She's 40 years old and she's smoking hot and has a rockin' bod. That was the best part of Night of Clash of Champions. See, it looks so much like fucking Night of Champions. I can't even say Clash of Champions because it just didn't feel like Clash of Champions. But be that as it may, throughout all that, you know, there were a few good things. There were a few not so good things. And, you know, for this reason, I have to call it like Sean. I gotta call it right down the middle. Some things good, like Jericho winning, but some things...
Well, Big T, we lost your mic, man. Evan, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Alright, man. While Big T gets his mic fixed, Evan, how did you what did you make of Clash of Champions?
You know, I thought it was an okay show. I mean, there were ups and there were downs. You know, the main event, I wasn't happy with Jericho interfering and basically just for the same reasons that Big T said. You know, I mean, you don't want to sabotage your main event and really the first Raw only pay per view. You don't. I think that was a bad move to do. I do agree with Owens retaining the title at this moment. I think it's probably best for him to build some credibility first before losing it. But overall, it was a decent show. It was not a great show by any means, but I mean, it wasn't terrible to me. I'll probably, I don't know, probably like a 6 out of 10 or something.
Can you hear me, Sean?
Yep.
All right. You know, as I was saying before my mic cut out, you know, it's, and I agree with Evan's point because I just heard everything that Evan stated. You know, yeah, it was just one of those things where there were ups, there were downs, good things happened, bad things happened, but still, did they plan for the future? Do they have any direction to where they're going with their show? No, they came out of Clash of Champions with basically nothing. When SmackDown came out of Backlash with, you know, Styles, low blow, and Dean Ambrose, and you already came out with the storyline of Ambrose, you know, he's got to get his shot. It's going to happen. And then SmackDown has just been doing a way better job of storytelling than Raw has done. And, you know, the storytelling has not been Raw's strong suit. I'm going to say right off the bat, I got to split it down the middle because it was too 50-50 and too wishy-washy of a night. And I got to say Clash of Champions was a straight up 5 out of 10. It really was because it, like, just like Evan said, there were ups, there were downs, but there was nothing that's really going to knock your socks off. It was just an average 5. It was, eh, I guess is the best way to put it. If I, you know, really could say it best, but, let me look at something here, guys, if I could find it real quick. All right, when I was thinking about this, all right, like think about the other, forget about Clash of Champions for a second. Think of the Night of Champions that we have seen over time. I remember Night of Champions 2008. Triple H versus John Cena in a WWE Championship match. How fantastic is that? You know, other Night of Champions events, we had a double main event on, I believe it was the 2010 Night of Champions. You had Kane and The Undertaker for the World Heavyweight Championship. And you had a six-pack challenge elimination match for the WWE Championship. And I forgot the six men that competed in it, guys. I believe it was Wade Barrett, Edge, Chris Jericho, Randy Orton, John Cena, and
Sheamus.
I can't remember the last guy who was on Raw. Now this is gonna drive me nuts. But
Sheamus, I believe.
Yep, that's right. Thank you, Evan. Thank you. It was Sheamus. It was. Yeah, those six men competed in a six-pack elimination challenge matchup. And you talk about those two main events, Kane and The Undertaker, and a six-pack challenge elimination. That is what a Night of Champions, a Clash of Champions show should be about. You know, those were the good ones. But, you know, even last year in 2015, the pay-per-view wasn't really that great, but we did get to see John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. Actually, that was in 2014. Sorry, guys. 2014, John Cena versus Brock Lesnar. Decent match. Awesome match. But I think the rest of the pay-per-view was kind of blah. In 2015, last year, John Cena versus Seth Rollins for the US title. Sting versus Seth Rollins for the WWE title. Good stuff. See, now that's what, like, a Night of Champions, Clash of Champions atmosphere is all about. This just felt too much up and down, and there wasn't enough consistency of just riding and flowing straight through the show. You know, it was too rocky. One moment you're going up here, next moment you're going down here, another moment you're going back up here, another moment you're going back down here. Instead of just having that clean and steady flow, just taking you straight through the show. That was the issue. If anybody wants to chime in on how they feel about this, let me know, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but honestly, I think one of the reasons the show was not as much as a success as some people thought was, I don't know if they're giving themselves enough time with this, you know, the whole 2 weeks thing and having to pay-per-view every other week. I just don't think it's a good idea. Clash of Champions, obviously you did where you were coming off a SummerSlam, but I mean, just, it felt odd. And I mean, maybe this is for the good. In my mind, Backlash was a good show. In my mind right now, SmackDown is probably winning. Raw has the better roster, but SmackDown just has the better storylines in my mind. But honestly, Hell in a Cell, is that the next Raw one?
Yeah, that's October 30th.
Okay, that might not be as good of a show. I don't really feel confident in WWE right now, honestly. I don't know. If this pay-per-view felt odd, hopefully Hell in a Cell can erase that. It felt like, I mean, Finn's injury does hurt and it does put a little sense of urgency in your mind, but it just felt a little like put together, like, I don't know, like a week before or something.
Yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming from on that. I mean, Evan, for sure. Sean, do you have any quick little thoughts before I close up the segment?
No, just like you guys were talking about, Evan was saying how it's so quick between these pay-per-views. And it's really funny because now, okay, picture, you know, for next month, No Mercy is... what, October 9th?
Or... yep, and then October 9th, and then 3 weeks later on October 30th, you get Hell in a Cell.
But listen to this. So SmackDown is October 9th, and they don't get another pay-per-view until, like, Thanksgiving week of Survivor Series. That's almost 2 months. You go from getting a pay-per-view every other week to not getting one. Well, you'll have Hell in a Cell, but SmackDown's going to be going almost 2 months without a pay-per-view.
Yeah, which means that AJ Styles is going to have to defend the title on SmackDown between No Mercy and Survivor Series, because that'll be a nearly 2 month gap. It's too long. And see, this is why splitting up the pay-per-views hurts the brand as a whole. It really does. It's bad enough that you have a draft, but then you want to split up the pay-per-views too, and it just makes it harder.
So, news and rumors.
What was that, Sean? Your mic was muted for a second.
Are you guys ready for some news and rumors?
I'm ready, buddy. Oh, wait a minute. Sean dropped out of here. What happened? Hold on, people. Let's get Sean back. in a second here. I don't know what happened. Let me see. I might need to invite him again. Evan, you still on?
Yep, I'm still here.
Yeah, Sean just dropped out in the middle of nowhere. There he is.
I'm back. Sorry about that. I was clicking on my news thing and I accidentally exited this.
Sorry, bud.
All right, so let's get back to it. Oh, I thought I did it again. Oh my God.
You're here, bud. Don't worry, you're here.
All right. Well, like we said, we got a bunch of TNA news. It has just been the week from hell for if you're a TNA fan or if you're employed by TNA especially.
I'm so glad that you're actually starting off with this because this is what I actually wanted news and rumors to be geared around this week. So it seems like we're on the same wavelength here. And fire away, because I'm sure the crowd wants to hear about this. And then in the meantime, I'm going to step away for a second and get myself a drink, but I'll be able to hear everything going on.
Well, all right. Yeah, this is definitely the biggest news story in all of wrestling this week, and we got it here live for you on Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. We have TNA canceling talent flights, speculation going into next week's Impact tapings, and much, much more. Mark Middleton of WrestlingINC.com is the author of this story. Thank you very much, Mr. Middleton. The story is as follows. I reported yesterday that TNA had canceled some flights and matches for talents coming into Orlando for next week's Impact Wrestling tapings. A veteran TNA talent also told me that he wasn't sure if he would even be on Sunday's Bound for Glory pay-per-view card, as the company is really looking to save money this weekend due to how cash-strapped they are. As noted, the uncertainty in the company has many talents very nervous going into this weekend. Since I reported on the flight cancellations yesterday, PW Insider came out with a report of their own and said that their story of flights being canceled was not true. In checking back with my source, I was told that several of the recent TV regulars had their flights canceled and were told to be on standby for next week's tapings. The veteran TNA talent speculated that TNA may book many local Florida guys for next week instead of flying other wrestlers in from around the country. I should have more details on Friday, but Justin LaBar of TribLive.com also reported the flight cancellations with his tweet today. Sadly, TNA canceled some wrestlers' flights and matches to cut costs. The site saying it's false is spin doctoring PR for TNA management sources. Good God. It is getting ridiculous out here in the world of TNA and biased reporting. Seems to be the trend nowadays, but in more than just wrestling, of course. We are going to continue this coverage of TNA's inevitable demise, as it seems. One funny thing I read. Honky Tonk Man apparently posted something controversial. The former Intercontinental Champion tweeted out an image of a rusted out trailer and said, basically made it into a for sale ad for the TNA headquarters, and I'm sure that has many people angry. Now, going on, we have Billy Corgan on if he could win the bidding war with the WWE and struggles with the TNA sale, and if Bound for Glory will even happen. That's right. TNA Bound for Glory pay-per-view is scheduled for this Sunday, October 2nd, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Only on pay-per-view, according to TNA.com, but will it happen? Raj Giri of WrestlingINC.com hopefully will let us know here right now. Billy Corgan appeared on, Grammy Award winning. Billy Corgan, I just love saying that, appeared on ESPN's radio, the Dan Le Batard show moments ago and discussed the current state of TNA. Things have not changed since yesterday, and a sale has not been finalized. TNA is up for sale.
Oh, we lost Sean. We lost Sean again. Hopefully we can get him back on. He was just in the middle of that story doing great.
Yeah, probably the same thing happened.
I hope that he's not still reading the story. And doesn't know that he's gone. We'll try to get Sean back, people, as soon as possible here. Do you got anything, Evan, that you would like to state about the first situation that Sean spoke of?
Yeah, I mean, you know, from TNA's been down for a couple of years, and you know, they've been needing money for a long time now. It seems like they switch networks almost every year. It's a tough slate. It works out, but I...
Your microphone cut out, Evan. There you go.
It really it takes away from the actual...
There. Yep, sorry about that, guys. I was just reading it wrong.
Yeah, when you started talking about Raj Jeter. You're like, hopefully Raj Jeter could give us an answer right here, right now, and then you were gone.
Okay, well, sorry about that. My connection must have dropped, or Google Hangouts kicked me out. But anyway, like Big T was saying, Billy Corgan on if he could win a bidding war with the WWE and struggles with the TNA sale, and will Bound for Glory even happen? Raj Geary of WrestlingINC.com is about to let us know. Billy Corgan, he appeared on ESPN Radio's The Dan Le Batard Show moments ago and discussed the current state of TNA. Things have not changed since yesterday, and a sale has not been finalized. You know, of course, I've been planning on buying TNA, but I also had my mind on this beautiful island in French Polynesia. I just don't know what I'm going to do, guys. But anyway, Billy Corgan was asked about WWE being interested in buying TNA and how you win a bidding war with God himself, Vincent Kennedy McMahon. Damn it. Corgan said that you don't, and McMahon could buy it if he wanted to, and there's nothing anyone or God can do to stop him. As of this moment, it hasn't happened, and he doesn't think it will, and he hopes that he would know since he's involved in the process of buying the company and owns a piece of TNA Impact Wrestling. Corgan noted that there is currently a gunfight with who will get control of the company. And get this, this is the headline. He would not say for sure, he is not 100%, that Bound for Glory will even happen this Sunday. Bound for Glory is being touted to happen this Sunday, October 2nd, 2016 on pay-per-view. Will it happen? Not even the president of the company apparently knows. But that he hopes everything will be resolved by Sunday. There's a difference between optimism and stupidity. He doesn't think everyone involved would want a situation where everyone is put out of work. He's spoken to talent that have told him not to take a bad deal. So, I know I'm losing my voice here, but we're going to keep on. When asked about the issues he is currently facing regarding the sale, Corgan talked about pro wrestling struggling with revenue and noted that a wrestling show will generate much lower ad revenue than another show with similar or lower ratings. I don't know, tell Monday Night Raw that. He said that there is more of a money struggle, but also a creative one on what the company will look like. He said that the low ad rates are due to the perception of wrestling, and he wants to change that. Wow. Sounds like a cop-out to me, Mr. Grammy Award winner. Corgan said that WWE has really been the only company that has had a winning philosophy in the business. He said that while they've had a winning philosophy, there are different ways you can do business. He made a comparison of Game of Thrones and Breaking Bad, noting that they're both completely different, but both very successful. He wants to create a different kind of product with TNA, and one of the struggles has been that there are others who have a completely different vision for how the company should be. He also said that TNA needs consistent capital in order to promote and grow the company, which they haven't had in a very long time. Wow. We're finally here. We've been talking about this for about a year now. I've been thinking about this since about 2014 when I first started listening to podcasts. And I remember listening about Bound for Glory 2014. And even rumors back then, and finally, the castle has collapsed. We are truly here at what seems to be the end of TNA Impact Wrestling, and only a miracle can save it now. Big T, as a TNA fan, after hearing these stories, what do you have on your mind with all this?
Oh man, where do I start? Well, I gotta start off by saying sadness. Disappointment. I've been a long time TNA fan since their inception in 2002 when they used to wrestle at the TNA Asylum. And, you know, this is so disheartening and so sad. I'm just, you know, trying to even put it all together to even comprehend it. It's like one of those things where you kind of know in the back of your mind it's going to happen, but you don't let yourself believe it, I guess is the right thing to say. And it's like, why does this have to happen now when EC3 is probably on the verge of winning the damn title? Can't they just, if they're gonna, you know, let TNA, if TNA's going under, can't they just have the show and end it with EC3 holding the title high above his head? I know it doesn't always work that way though, and it's, I just think of so many classic matches that I've seen throughout TNA. The AJ Styles Jeff Jarrett rivalry, Sting and Jeff Jarrett rivalry. AJ Styles, Kurt Angle, Jeff Jarrett, Kurt Angle, Booker T, Samoa Joe, Kurt Angle, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Christopher Daniels, James Storm, and Bobby Roode. I mean, to me, TNA has a rich wrestling history. You know, EC3 is the most important piece of them all to me. I mean, EC3, Matt Hardy. What an incredible rivalry. It just, I can't help it, guys. I'm sad. I am saddened. For TNA to, you know, just implode in on itself like this. I thought that Bound for Glory, I honestly did. I'm not just saying it to say it. I honestly thought that Bound for Glory was finally going to be that one event that was going to breathe new life into TNA and basically resurge TNA to new heights. And I cannot believe that, you know, this is what is actually happening here. And I just hope they get the right send off if they do get, if they have to close up. But I will say this, guys, is that TNA, in my mind, will live on forever. They were an important part of, you know, my wrestling fandom, and I really did enjoy TNA. I'll never forget TNA. And I just hope to God that EC3 gets a fair shake in the WWE then and becomes one of the biggest stars there ever was. Now, as far as what happens to TNA, if TNA can't survive, you know, on its own, then I want the WWE to buy it. I want the WWE to get their hands on the tape library so at least we can relive it on the network and you guys can see what I'm talking about and how great this company really was in its heyday. But, or have the WWE buy it and have some kind of invasion or do something of that sense. Maybe join TNA with NXT and have them invade the main roster. I mean, do something of some sorts that would spice up the WWE, because Lord knows the WWE needs some spicing up at this time. But I'm really sad about everything that, you know, we just heard. And, you know, Evan, if you got anything to say about this, go right ahead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is incredibly sad, you know, because TNA has been around for as long as I've been watching wrestling. Of course, it isn't that long, but TNA, I actually, when I started watching WWE, I was watching TNA also, and then after a while, I just decided to just stick with only WWE. But yeah, it would be sad if TNA has to go, but if they have to go, I would want WWE to probably buy it. That video library would be very valuable. Also, if you could get the contracts of some of them bigger guys, EC3, Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, there's a couple other really good ones there. You can put some in NXT for depth. You can put some on the main roster right now. I think it would just be overall better for WWE if you can have that. Or maybe like just like you said, you could have an invasion angle. I don't really like it, but you could. I don't know. If you do buy a TNA and all the contracts, I would say, probably have like, I don't know, maybe debut like Matt Hardy first, then maybe like the Royal Rumble, have Jeff Hardy as like a surprise entrant. But I've wanted Jeff Hardy to return to WWE since he left. But I mean, now is the opportunity. If WWE can buy it and get all the contracts, get the video library, that's probably best for TNA and WWE. Of course, TNA would love to stay in business and be competition to WWE, but right now it doesn't seem like an option. At least it's going to take a lot of hard work.
Oh yeah, it would take a lot of hard work. I'm looking here. Sean, do you have any stories at all?
The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, I'm seeing something here of Dixie Carter reportedly making a mess of TNA sale. Let's see if, I think this is something different than what you reported on, Sean. This digs deeper into it, and just hearing of how Dixie Carter's making a mess of this, it's just, I don't know. It's disappointing, really, but according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, people in TNA are frustrated over Dixie Carter making a mess of the sale negotiations for the company. Someone in TNA who's close to the sale told the Wrestling Observer the following. There are a lot of hurdles and games being played, and she, meaning Dixie Carter, has really made a mess and is responsible for all of it. So honestly, I don't know why Dixie Carter is making a mess of everything. I don't know if she's just so desperate to hold on to the final hour, if she's just one of those that wants to go down with the ship. I don't really know what's going through her head at this point, but, you know, she's had to have seen this coming. I mean, this is, you know, something that's been, you know, brewing to happen now for a while. So, you know, it is what it is. Speaking of TNA, Impact is just concluding on the POP Network. Will it be the last ever episode of Impact ever? I don't know. Let me see here. Now, this is a big story, guys. Let's move away from TNA for a second. Got backstage news on the statuses of Dolph Ziggler and Cesaro. Now, there's speculation going on backstage that Cesaro's contract with the WWE is set to expire soon. And backstage sources are suggesting that his tag team stint with Sheamus is a ploy to use him while not pushing him. Just in case if Cesaro does decide not to renew his contract for the time being, if Cesaro indeed chooses to not re-sign with the WWE, then, you know, the tag team will initially be broken up and Sheamus will be pushed, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Now, as for Dolph Ziggler, there has been many questions going on about his status with the WWE. He reportedly has about a year left on his WWE contract, but the WWE officials are heavily considering having Ziggler lose the career versus title match with The Miz at No Mercy and have Dolph Ziggler take a long break from the company and then come back with a new repackaged gimmick. So, you know, I put these together. I hope to God that Cesaro resigns. If he doesn't, I will be upset, because Cesaro is, you know, a great talent and a talent that deserves to be utilized and pushed, and why Vince McMahon hasn't done it, I'll never know. As far as Dolph Ziggler goes, do I agree with The Miz defeating Dolph Ziggler in the career versus title match? Yes, I do. Miz is on a roll. As much as I love Dolph Ziggler, I mean, if Dolph Ziggler wins, trust me, I won't be upset, because I love Dolph Ziggler. But I can see from a business standpoint how having Miz run with this title is the right thing to do. So don't worry, I'm not really letting my biasness get in the way here. But if they would have Ziggler go away for a while and come back with a new repackaged gimmick, that might be just the trick and just the thing Dolph Ziggler needs to finally breathe new life into his career. Because as Lord knows it right now, Dolph Ziggler's career has been on life support for a long time. But with these two very important stories making the rounds, considering Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler's contracts, Sean, how do you feel about these issues?
Well, Ziggler, you know, he had a good run. I mean, we knew that this time was coming, whether it be now or 2 years from now. Not going to bother me too much personally, but, you know, I wish for his fans' sake that he sticks around, but creative-wise, he sort of hit the brick wall. Maybe, you know, take some time off, come back in a couple years, you know? Just, I don't think he's ever been gone. That's the problem, is so many people on the roster are so greedy to stay there forever. It's like, God, you know, get a different, interest or something, you know, use your fame, go do some other stuff, come back, get a big pop in like 2-3 years, have a return match, build your intrigue. So.
Well, you did hear what Ziggler does want to do when he steps away from the ring for some time. He wants to, do a like stand-up comedian shows at the Laugh Factory in LA, because he loves to do comedy. I guess that's what it is. Ziggler's passion is doing comedy. Maybe he'll have plenty jokes about his relationship with Amy Schumer.
Wait, was that the punchline or is that the setup? I'm confused. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I wish him all the best in whatever he wants to do, but that's just the way the business goes. I mean, he's been here for 10 years. Go do something else, whatever it may be. Come back and get your big pop. Get a WrestleMania match or something 3 years from now. We'll see you then, Dolph. We'll see you then. As long as I get to see Maurice every week, I'm fine. I don't care.
What about the Cesaro situation?
What about it?
How do you feel about his contract and that if he doesn't re-sign a deal that Sheamus, the team would be broken up? The tag team that he was put in now with Sheamus, that it would be broken up and Sheamus would get the push.
Well, that's no question. I don't think just because Sheamus would be the last man standing, so to speak, that means he would get a push. I think WWE learned their lesson with that last year, that is a big mistake. But, you know, I think Cesaro is a big crowd favorite. He's not one of my top favorites, but I definitely, you know, I'm sort of neither here nor there when it comes to Cesaro. He's good. He's hard to relate to though. I really don't enjoy this new ring entrance with the tux and the glasses. I think he looks sort of derpy, I don't know. Like, you know, maybe him and Dolph should just both go and do other stuff and come back in a couple years because I don't really see much room for either of them. I don't see too much possibilities in their road. The only one would be probably like Cesaro taking on Kevin Owens, but I think we've probably seen that over 10,000 million times. So yeah, I mean, best of luck, but you know, I'm impartial.
Yeah, I totally understand you there, buddy. Evan.
How about 10,000,001? Are you up for that? Yep.
I hear you. It's been a bunch of times. But, Evan, how do you feel about these two stories?
You know, first I wanted to touch on the Cesaro situation. I think it would be a big mistake for WWE to let Cesaro just walk and go with another company. I think he's a world-class talent. You guys start giving him a push, and I hope he re-signs, gets his push, and hopefully is in a marquee match at WrestleMania 33. The Ziggler situation, you know, Ziggler, it's gotten old. I don't know if he should leave. I don't know if that's the best thing. I just think a character change would probably be best. I think probably just turn them heel for a little bit after this Miz storyline. You know, maybe like, he loses, but like he like Miz cheats again and he marches into Shane's office and like, you know, this is ridiculous or whatever. And just starts like attacking like innocent faces, like all over the place, like during a match, you know, like, let's say like American Alpha's in a match or whatever, like after the match, Ziggler attacks them and stuff. And that sets up the heel thing. You know, you can have Miz go on, do other things, have somebody have a problem with Ziggler, you know, maybe who knows, you know, I mean, it would be a couple months down the line. Maybe if John Cena have a problem with Dolph Ziggler, make them have a match, you know, that would be a solid match. But, you know, I hope he doesn't leave. I think heel turn's probably best for him. But you know, whatever, the WWE's gonna do what's best for them, and Dolph Ziggler and Cesaro are both gonna do what's best for them. So, is what it is.
Definitely right about that. I got another story. on the books here for you guys. Let's see. It's actually one bigger story, but it's like in three, you know, separate little parts here. There's backstage news on Chris Jericho. There's news on the New Day's title reign. And is there backstage heat on TJ Perkins? Well, let's find this out. All right. All right, this is great right here, and it makes me want to go to Roadblock even more now. The New Day is reaching closer to breaking Demolition's tag team title record. The New Day currently have held the Raw Tag Team Championships in excess of 403 days. In order for the New Day to beat the record of 478 days, they would have to hold the titles until December 13th, which is a Tuesday. Now, there are rumors going on that WWE will do a big tag team title match on the Monday beforehand in dramatic fashion to break the record. Then the New Day would perhaps lose the titles at the closest Raw exclusive pay-per-view, Roadblock, on December 18th. So it sounds like right now it's all set up to end for the New Day on December 18th. Now, here's a story going in about Chris Jericho. It was expected over the summer that Chris Jericho would be taking another hiatus from the WWE at around November to continue working on an album with his band Fozzy. According to advertisements, Jericho is being advertised for the December 26th edition of Monday Night Raw, which indicates that he will either be sticking around longer than expected or he will take a short break and return for that Raw. Now, according to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, moving on to another story now, I'm going to give my opinions when I'm done with the stories. So that's it for the Jericho story. Moving on to the last story. According to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, WWE Cruiserweight Champion TJ Perkins is picking up some backstage heat from WWE officials. The heat is apparently due to Perkins constantly referencing that he grew up homeless. Officials believe that TJ should not do this because many such as him grew up homeless, and trainers have told him he should not be using that to gain sympathy from the crowd. So, well, let me take all this in and break it down, and then we'll move on to Sean's reaction and Evan's reaction. But gotta tell you guys, it's a great couple of stories here. First off, the New Day, I couldn't be happier that they would break the Demolition's tag title record. I want it to happen. So I hope to God it will. Please make it happen at WWE. That's what I gotta say on that. Because it's time for a new record to reign for tag teams. Moving on to the second part with Chris Jericho. I'm always depressed whenever Chris Jericho has to say goodbye and leave for a while. So, you know, it's too bad that he's got to step away, probably coming up soon. But I wish that he would stick around a little bit longer, like the article says. And, you know, hopefully appear on the December 26th edition of Monday Night Raw. Let's hope for the best there. Well, Jerichoholics, all got to hope for the best. I know that I'm the number one Jerichoholic in the world. I can't get enough Jericho Hall. But anyway, moving on to the last topic of TJ Perkins. If TJ Perkins is referencing, you know, him being homeless without it being in the script, then I can understand there being a problem. Because, all right, if WWE's scripting it for TJ, that's one thing. But if there's officials that have been telling TJ to stop referencing how he's been homeless, you know, because they, you know, you don't want to gain sympathy that way, I can understand it. And I can understand how he could have heat from that. Because there are so many guys that slept in their cars, like Edge, for example. He would wrestle for like $20 a match in a small gym where in the wintertime, him, Christian, and Rhino were driving in a car in Canada. They had, the only way to get to this gym was to drive over a frozen lake in Canada and risk your life, basically, to drive there. They drove there, wrestled, and then they slept on the mats in the gym because they had nowhere to go or they slept in their car. So yes, other professional wrestlers have had a hard road. And if it's not scripted for TJ Perkins to be talking about himself being homeless, then he has no business saying it. That's my view on those three stories. Heading into the home stretch here of news and rumors, Sean, how do you feel about these three stories that I just spoke of?
New Day, I wish they lost their titles yesterday. Chris Jericho, all aboard the Fozzy Chris Jericho cruise. He'll be back. It'll be good, but we're going to go on a cruise in the meantime.
I hope so, buddy.
And TJ Perkins, I agree with you. I mean, he should definitely follow the script, and I'm sure, you know, WWE, being the vultures that they are, would love to sink their teeth in the fact that this kid who was homeless is now their first ever cruiserweight champion. So, you know what? That's a part of being famous, and that's a part of succeeding, is you're going to have people trying to tear you down and take apart your story and ridicule you. But TJ Perkins is a champion, and he is a success now and a very proud man, and I'm very proud of him, and I wish him all the best. And I think he should be able to say whatever he wants. I mean, that's just the way it obviously should be. Even if he wants to go a little bit off script because he's feeling it, that's the type of attitude Austin was telling Dean Ambrose to have. That's the type of brass ring that Vince McMahon talks about, is go off script, take risks, because there are no rewards without risks. And TJ Perkins, more power to you. You do whatever you think you need to do, buddy.
I definitely see where you're coming from there. You need to take a risk to get a reward. Evan, how do you feel about these stories that that I just spoke of here, bud?
Yeah, you know, as to Chris Jericho first, I want to cover that first. He's, you know, he's been off and on. This is probably his longest run with the WWE in a long time. So, I mean, I don't really fault him for taking a break. You know, I mean, we knew what he was when he came back. You know, he'll come back for 3 to 4 months, put some guys over, then leave. He hasn't. It's almost been almost a year almost, or it's been pretty darn close to a year. So I think it's a goodbye for now, Jericho. We'll see you. I don't know. Maybe we'll see him at WrestleMania, or maybe, you know, maybe this is the chance to where if he comes back, he can be placed on SmackDown. Who knows? As for New Day, I really hope that they break the record. Now you might as well. I thought they should have lost the tag titles already, but since, you know, they still have them, I might as well, I would like to see them break the record. They might as well. As for, TJ Perkins with the whole scripting thing, just stay on script. You know, don't, If you know, go off script a little bit, but don't start mentioning, you know, about your life story when it's not on script. Daniel Bryan's life story was basically on script. He was the underdog. He was this. He was that. He was that. This was all scripted out for him. Do I think WWE should have less scripted promos? Yes. I think WWE should have no scripted promos. I think it should be all from your mind. You have to be creative. And I think that would really separate the great, from the good, from the mediocre, from the bad. Whoever can come up with a creative storyline and really just run their promo around it, I think it could benefit a lot of guys. But overall, just stick to the script, man, and just watch what you say. You know, I mean, it was tough. You know, we're all very proud of you to see you, and you know the CWC see you succeed in there. But you know, everybody has trouble. It's a real shame that he had a little bit more trouble than others. But just next time, just stick to it.
Hear, hear. Definitely a great news and rumor segment. We pretty much got everything in. Sean, wouldn't you say?
I would say.
Let's move on to the next part of the program.
All right, WWE Monday Night Raw live from, where was it? Oh, that's right. It was in nowhere. I can't find that, so... anyway. Monday Night Raw. Sasha Banks challenged Charlotte one-on-one.
Oh, it was in the Bankers Life Fieldhouse in Indianapolis, Indiana.
There you go. Alright,
I'm pretty sure. I thought that's what it was, but... I could be wrong, but I thought that's what it was, so I hope I'm right.
Okay, let me oh shit. WWE took away They took away my link.
They did?
They used to have, you know, underneath Raw, they would have... Oh, God, man. Well, I got to... Man, leave it to WWE to F up their website that they took away the results.
Ugh.
Oh, here we go. Okay. I apologize, WWE. WWE Monday Night Raw for September 26th. It was at the U.S. Bank Arena in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yep. Sorry about that. I was wrong. It was Cincinnati.
The U.S. champion Roman Reigns versus Rusev ended in a double countout. Raw tag team champions The New Day defeated Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson. Bayley defeated Anna Fields, Cedric Alexander, and Rich Swann defeated Lince Dorado and Drew Gulak. Cesaro and Sheamus defeated Nick Cutler and Willis Williams. Sasha Banks confronted Raw's women's champion Charlotte. WWE Cruiserweight champion TJ Perkins defeated Tony Ness, I guess. Seth Rollins crashed the highlight reel with Kevin Owens. And the WWE Universal Champion Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho defeated Enzo Amore and Big Cass in a tag team action. I gave Raw a 5. It sucked.
Raw, alright. I'm not gonna sugarcoat this here, folks. Raw sucked major ass. Raw basically sucked the ass of life. They really did this week. Inexcusable. They basically started off the show, you know, Roman Reigns and Rusev in a U.S. title rematch for the first 30 minutes. What does it do? Ends in a double countout. Nothing gets accomplished. The New Day and the Club in a tag title rematch, and the Club loses again. The Club gets buried further. The Club is 6 foot underground. All WWE has to do is throw the dirt over top of them, and they're done. Done. They suck. I mean, anything else, you know, as far as what happened, nothing of importance. The main event with Jericho and Owens against Enzo and Cass. That was the first match of the night on the SummerSlam main card. And here it's the main event for Raw. Who gives a shit? Who really gives a fuck? And then you got Bayley taking on Anna Fields. What is she, Mrs. Field? Mrs. Fields? Did she bring on any chocolate chip cookies with her? I don't know. Why the fuck is Bayley having squash matches? This is number one. Bayley having a squash match. First of all, everybody on NXT that's watched it, they know what Bayley's capable of, okay? Asuka's never been beaten. Bayley took Asuka to the limit and had an absolute war with her. Bayley has had wars with Becky, Sasha, and Charlotte, and the wars with Sasha at TakeOver Brooklyn, and, you know, TakeOver, what is it, TakeOver Respect or whatever, when they had the Iron Man, or the Iron Woman match. This is a woman that can go in the ring. But no, let's have her fight a jobber. Let's have her fight Anna Fields. Really? Are you fucking kidding me? And TJ Perkins in a squash match against Tony Nese. Wow. Cesaro and Sheamus in a tag match against two jobbers. Who cares? Half of the card was fucking squash matches, guys. The best part of the night was seeing Stephanie backstage in her office texting when Mick Foley walked in, and Stephanie turned around and you could see her beautiful cleavage through her dress, and she had a skin-tight black dress on. That was the highlight. That was the highlight right there of Raw. Nothing of significance happened. It sucked. It blew chunks. I mean, the debate was better. That's all I gotta say. Go Trump. The debate was better. Raw sucked. Raw to me. You know what? Screw it. I'm tired of getting Raws that are not satisfactory to me. After what we've seen, and no Seth Rollins attacking, oh my god, it was just too much, guys. Raw gets a 1 out of 10. A flat out 1. They sucked major ass. Yeah. Evan.
Yeah, the ratings were 2.47 according to TV by the numbers, so very bad, very, very bad.
I thought they got like 2.47 million viewers, but I thought the overall rating turned out to 1.75, where it was the second lowest rated Raw of all time. Am I wrong about that?
My article doesn't indicate that, so it doesn't. I mean, you're probably right. My article just doesn't talk about overall rating.
Okay. Evan, how do you feel about this Raw suck fest?
It was a suck fest. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, just like you said, half the card, I was probably not even half, probably most of the card was jobbers against, you know, you knew the matches. It's a squash match for no reason. Bayley shouldn't be having squash matches. Sheamus and Cesaro shouldn't be having squash matches. Enzo and Cass should not be facing off against Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho again. I mean, come on now. Really, like, what are you doing with Enzo and Cass? I think they're two great talents, and I think they got to be in the tag team title picture. I really do. Once New Day loses their titles, I think it should be the Enzo and Cass. Their whole Enzo and Cass whole thing with the Shining Stars, that just disappears. You know, you have these no names basically. Yeah. And, you know, we've seen it with Nia Jax and Braun Strowman. We've come to expect that. That's only two matches out of a 3 hour show, but now you're doing 2, 3, 4, possibly some 5 matches that are squashes. That can't happen. And, was not a good show. I did not like the fact that, you know, Seth Rollins, I understand he had a rib injury and all, that Seth Rollins just Seth Rollins came out and security basically stopped him, and Rollins was just like, okay, and walked right back. Like, come on, you don't want to resist them at all? I mean, how much can you really not do? Can you really not do much to where you can't push one of the security guards and try to go, and then they eventually calm you down and then you walk back? I mean, he barely even argued, so I didn't really like it. Given Raw about a 4 out of 10, was not a good show.
Yeah, it was just, one of the worst of the worst. And, let's go into SmackDown, Sean, and then we'll compare the ratings of the two shows.
All right. Well, SmackDown was quite the special event. The host of our show, Big T himself, was here for SmackDown Live in Cleveland, Ohio, Quicken Loans Arena, Tuesday, September 27th, 2016. The Mind Games continued as Wyatt challenged Orton to come to find him. Wow, imagine that. An actual storyline. Knock, knock, Raw. The Usos, the newly branded Usos, the Wicked Usos, and the Ascension defeated Heath Slater and American Alpha. Wow. Carmella and Natalya, they defeated Nikki Bella and Naomi. The Miz Cleveland homecoming led to a major No Mercy announcement, which is it will be The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler for a Intercontinental Championship, and Dolph Ziggler's career will be on the line. Oh my goodness, is this simple booking? My head's about to explode. Alexa Bliss ambushed Becky Lynch, and WWE World Championship match, AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose with John Cena live on commentary. AJ Styles successfully retained his championship in Cleveland, Ohio on Tuesday night SmackDown Live. Big T, what was it like? We got plenty of time here for you to drink it in, man.
You couldn't have put it better right there, Sean, what you just said about drinking it in. Because that's exactly what I did. That is exactly what I did. I couldn't have enjoyed it better. I really couldn't have. This was like, it was a blessing to me. It really was a blessing to me to go and witness a show like this. And I kid you guys not, it was something that, you know, I honestly got such a feeling in the queue that night in the Quicken Loans Arena that it overwhelmed me. It overwhelmed me with happiness. And I always find myself overwhelmed with anger when I leave a WWE show most of the time. But this actually had me overwhelmed with happiness. And that's the way that you should feel after you win this, a pro wrestling show. Like, the storylines, okay? Think about it. We did not see Daniel Bryan or Shane McMahon not once during the show. We've seen them zero times. Didn't have to worry about authority figures getting involved. It was down to wrestling and wrestling only all night long. All night long. And you couldn't ask for anything better. So right there, that was awesome. Now, the way the show started, you know, they gave us a plot right off the bat. Orton comes out, talks about Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt gets up on the Titantron and, you know, tells Orton to go find him. Orton goes to find him. They go through that iconic boiler room. If you remember the first ever boiler room brawl when Mankind and The Undertaker were brawling at SummerSlam 96, that was in the Quicken Loans Arena in Cleveland, Ohio, that very same boiler room that you've seen Randy Orton going through with Bray Wyatt, that's where The Undertaker and Mankind waged war at SummerSlam 96. And to see, you know, Orton have to go through that boiler room to try to find Bray Wyatt and go these different routes and, like, on the locker when the arrow was turned, like, to go towards where Eric Rowan was. Orton turned it the other way to go through the door, and you see Rowan standing there with his head tilted, you know, in his sheet mask. Great stuff. Then Orton gets to the second set of doors, opens one. The eyes are gouged out of, you know, Randy Orton standee cardboard cutout. The other door has Eric Rowan behind it just staring, and Orton slammed the door and Eric Rowan couldn't get in. Then you go back to the third segment with Bray Wyatt basically playing the role of the Riddler and just, you know, talking as only he could talk. Orton comes up behind Bray Wyatt with that Eric Rowan sheet mask on, beats the shit out of Bray Wyatt. Just so incredible. So incredible. And, you know, what about Cena at commentary for the match with Styles and Ambrose for the title? Absolutely amazing, guys. Absolutely amazing. I mean, what more could you ask for? What more could you really ask for? Then, you know, near the end of the match, Ambrose ends up hitting Cena at ringside, so does Styles. You know, Cena jumps up on the ring apron. You know, Styles ends up getting the roll-up, grabbing the tights of Ambrose. You know, boom, the match is over. And then next thing you know, Cena leaves Ambrose laying and Styles laying, holding the title above his head. It was just like an iconic moment. I felt like time stood still in that moment. And one of the most incredible things, there was also a great dark match after the show. The dark match was a tag match with Bray Wyatt and The Miz going up against Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler. Randy Orton and Dolph Ziggler got the win. Dolph Ziggler got the pin on The Miz after Orton hit an RKO on Wyatt. And then next thing you know, Dolph Ziggler cuts a great promo to Pop, you know, for the city of Cleveland, saying, "Everybody in Cleveland, if this is the last time I get to perform in front of all you great fans of my hometown, just remember one thing. The Golden State Warriors blew a 3-1 lead." So basically plugging, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers winning a championship, how anything can happen and you never give up. And that was, you know, just a great way to end the show. That is something you won't hear anywhere else but here, unless you watch someone else that has been to that show. And I was there to witness that. But I'll tell you, the part that left me absolutely the most breathless of the whole night was the Miz Ziggler segment. You know, you had Ziggler talking about his whole career, how he felt, you know, it didn't go the way he planned. Like, you could tell Ziggler was letting out real feelings and real raw emotion in that promo. That is a way you cut a real life promo. I believe Ziggler went against the script. He spoke real life, but he spoke it as to where it gets this match over. And it's gotten the match over now to such a point with The Miz saying, you know, there's nothing left for me to fight you for unless you want to put your career on the line. Then Miz walks away. Ziggler says he'll put his career up. Miz walks back and he's like, "Wait, what'd you tell me? You'll put your career up?" And they made the match. They made the match. Now this does two things. With Ziggler's career being on the line, it adds more intrigue to the match, but it also adds more prestige to the Intercontinental Championship. Because usually when you see careers being put on the line, careers are put on the line either if you're facing The Undertaker for his WrestleMania streak when it was around, or you're putting your career on the line for the world title. You know, and to see a career be put on the line for the Intercontinental Championship, it really shows how badly Ziggler wants to become Intercontinental Champion. And then on the other hand, by forcing Ziggler to put his career on the line, it shows how badly that The Miz wants to hold on to the Intercontinental Championship. So that shows how important that the WWE Intercontinental Championship is to both of these men, Miz and Ziggler. This is the match I'm looking most forward to out of the whole pay-per-view. Am I going to look forward to the triple threat match for the WWE title? Yeah, but the Intercontinental title match to me is going to trump it. The WWE Intercontinental Championship match is the match I'm looking most forward to, and that's going to be like the standout main event match of the evening for me. But SmackDown overall, to deliver what it delivered, probably the best show of the year. Actually, to me, the best show of the year was probably WrestleMania, then Fastlane, and then maybe SmackDown. This is the best, like, weekly show on national TV that the WWE has put out this year. I think it's even better than the Raw after Mania, if you ask me.
We lost Big T's audio here, but like he was saying, quite impassionedly, SmackDown was a knockout show, really, really delivered for the Cleveland audience and all of the audience at home. I definitely enjoyed it. I enjoyed watching it. Let's see what, my rating for SmackDown for this week is definitely a 10, definitely some Attitude Era-like performance, some writing. It was just spectacular. I really liked it. While we get Big T back here on the show, I wonder if Evan's here, if Evan wants to chime in and let us know what he thought of SmackDown this past week.
Well, yeah, I thought it was a way better, way, way, way better show than Raw, but you know, it wouldn't be too hard to do that. But I mean, overall, I just thought it was a very, very good show. The Cleveland crowd was good. It always seems to be a decent show when they come to Cleveland. The promos were good. The wrestling was good. I like the storyline that they're rolling with Miz and Dolph Ziggler. It's just overall just a great show. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. And right as of now, in my mind, the blue brand is winning the brand split.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right, let's see. I want to try to find the actual numbers to the ratings, but I'm going to give my thoughts and say that the blue brand is absolutely eating Raw alive. SmackDown is like the piranha in a tank that smells blood. And Raw is basically like a little.
You lost Big T's audio here again, but like he was saying, SmackDown is just coming up from behind and destroying Monday Night Raw. When I think about Raw and what they could do better is probably, I feel like Raw gets overwhelmed, you know? It's a 3-hour show. They think they have to be something that they're not. They're just a wrestling show. Don't have Ashton Kutcher on next week and blah, blah, blah. I mean, God. It's so annoying, man. Just wrestle.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, imagine, you know, what were we all thinking? All of us were there that night, man. Freaking the first episode of Monday Night Raw for the new era. Great show.
You're right. And something just went bad. Like it's spoiling quick.
Yeah, I think Bauer's injury hurts. I also think that, you know, the 3-hour show does hurt. SmackDown, you know, it's a 2-hour show. It's much simpler storylines. You know, storylines aren't as complicated. The Divas division, honestly, if you look at the Raw Divas division, the only thing that's different is Bayley. Okay, it's always Charlotte saying she's the best and Sasha Banks saying that, you know, she's the boss and Dana Brooke trying to stop her, and that's the same with the
SmackDown. I don't understand any Raw storyline. I don't understand what's going on with Stephanie, why Mick Foley's even there, I don't understand any of it. You're exactly right. I mean, SmackDown is just straightforward and entertaining, where Raw, it's almost like they want you to play freaking, you know, Detective Who or whatever. You know, they want you to play Clue along with the show, and it's so annoying. Like, enough with Triple H, enough with Stephanie, enough with this convoluted, you know, conspiracy theory storylines that half of the time they end up ditching them anyway and no one could even understand. That's what Raw is. I think the first hour should be the Cruiserweight division segment of Raw. You make the whole first 8 o'clock hour into the Cruiserweight. And then you have, just like in the Attitude Era, you have the 2-hour Raw, and that's it. Capiche?
Yep, easy.
Big D, we got you back here. If you want to wrap it up with your SmackDown thoughts.
Well, what I'll tell you is, if I could quit getting pop-ups, you know, SmackDown is like the piranha in the tank hunting prey and gonna devour Raw alive, when Raw is like the scared little child that'll piss his pants and run away and hide under his covers from the boogeyman. That's the difference between Raw and SmackDown. Raw is all bark and no bite. And SmackDown, his actions speak louder than words. The only thing that Raw has going forward is Stephanie, and that's one place where you're wrong, Sean. You could never have enough Stephanie on Raw.
So Jericho didn't make that cut, huh?
Jericho definitely makes the cut as well.
Yeah, but you said the one thing. You said one thing.
Because I'm already thinking of Jericho taking hiatus. My brain's already going on that road. Jericho's not going to be there anymore. I'm already looking at it as well. Jericho's going on hiatus.
Well, Stephanie needs to make up her mind. Whether she wants to be a performer or she wants to be backstage. I mean, make up your damn mind and focus on something. You seem very overwhelmed and exhausted. And the character, the storyline, nothing makes sense. You know, they've been doing this for 5 years now. They had these storylines and nothing makes sense. It ends up just having some Triple H match that people forget about in 2 months.
To me, she could be wherever she wants to be. As long as I see her on TV, that's all that matters.
That's fine. Yeah, I'm not saying that she's not good on TV. I'm just saying she needs to focus. Pick something and stick to it.
Now, here's the ratings. We'll break this down for Raw. I found Raw. I don't know if I'll be able to find SmackDown's. If I'll be able to find SmackDown's full numbers like this. But I was right. Listen to this, Sean. This is an absolute atrocity. Holy shit. All right. The Raw ratings are in, and viewership for last night's show are in. And the show did about as poorly as one would have thought going in. This week's show, which was featured the fallout from Clash of Champions and went up against the presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and WWE Hall of Famer Donald Trump averaged 2.478 million viewers. This is one of the lowest numbers in the show's history and one not approached since the 1990s. The figure is down this figure is down 7.7% from last week's 2.684 million viewers. The show drew a 1.75 cable rating for the week. This is the second lowest rating in Monday Night Raw's history. The only time it did lower was Christmas week in 1996 when Raw did a 1.5 rating. Now this is down from last week's 1.97. Raw hourly viewership breakdown, first hour 2.85 million viewers, which was 2.734 million viewers last week. Second hour, listen to the second hour, 2.381 million viewers. That's when the debate started at 9 o'clock. Dropped that much, which was 2.86 million viewers last week. And then the third hour was so abysmal at 2.203 million viewers, which was 2.633 million viewers last week. So you could hear a drop off from one week to another. WWE can thank their core audience for keeping this week's episode from hemorrhaging viewers like many people expected. The first hour drew slightly stronger than last week, and though the show steadily lost viewers throughout the second and third hours, it was not as bad as it could have been, especially considering that the competition it was facing. On average, 84% of Raw's fans stuck with them instead of switching to the debate or Monday Night Football. As expected, Raw was pummeled by the debate, which drew an astounding 81 million viewers across cable and network television. Raw came in low on cable's totem pole, number 15 in viewership for the night, falling behind the debate and coverage of the debate on the cable news outlets, the NFL, SportsCenter, and Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. Raw was number 11 in the 18 to 49 demographic for the night. No 1 hour of the show cracked cable's top 10. Wow. Talk about getting a punch in the mouth.
All right. Well, you know what time of week it is. It is time.
We don't have SmackDown ratings yet. We need to get the SmackDown ratings. Let's see if I can find that. SmackDown live ratings. Let's see. Do you have anything for SmackDown live ratings, Sean?
No, I don't.
Let's see. Let me see if I can find this. There's one right here. It's probably not going to be as detailed as the Raw ones, but let's go into it. SmackDown Live ratings for September 27th, 2016, up from last week, but still can't catch Raw. So the blue brand bounced back a bit from last week's disappointing 2.92 million viewers on September 27th, 2016. Headlined by a WWE World Title match, which was announced a week in advance, SmackDown Live drew an audience of 2.340 million viewers. The two-hour broadcast was the highest-rated program among 18- to 49-year-olds for the third week in a row, with a 0.74, and the only programs on cable which attracted more viewers were Fox News programs, presumably still analyzing and spinning the debate from Monday Night Raw. Speaking of the presidential debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, which had a Super Bowl-esque ratings performance and crushed on Monday Night Raw, the red brand still managed to pull a bigger audience than SmackDown, barely winning the intra-company competition by 138,000 viewers. While it won't attract anything close of the 100 million who watched Monday's face-off between the Democratic and Republican nominees, next Tuesday, SmackDown will get their dose of election fever when they go head-to-head with the vice presidential debate. And yes, so SmackDown's got the vice presidential debate, but I don't think that'll matter too much. So with the 138,000 viewers, I would assume then that SmackDown had to draw in like a 1.6 or a 1.65. They didn't really fall that far behind Raw, but point is the ratings are still in the ones and something needs to change quick here.
Okay, for this week in WWE history, September 29th, 2016, 18 years ago today at Raw is War Taping. The WWE Network link is here at CageSideSeats.com, who's providing this article for us. WWE Monday Night Raw back in, what was it, 18 years ago, that would be 1998? Yeah.
Yep.
It was in East Lansing, Michigan. D'Lo Brown defeated X-Pac to win the WWF European Championship, and dating back to December 11th, 97, this is the sixth time and seventh out of eighth since the title was born on February 26, 1997, that the title changed hands on a taped delay show. So get this. The show airing 6 days later is most noted for two more of Raw's most replayed moments. One being Mankind in a feeble attempt to cheer up Mr. McMahon, introduce a sock puppet, Mr. Socko. Mr. McMahon's utter disdain for the puppet had the opposite effect. Fans warmed up to the sweat sock, and Mick Foley would incorporate him into its finisher, the mandible claw. Mr. Socko would go on to become one of the most over props in wrestling history. Later on in the show, who could forget this? A disguised Stone Cold Steve Austin, Dr. Stone Cold to you, assaulted Mr. McMahon in his hospital room, even giving the boss an impromptu rectal exam. The moment is known in wrestling lore as Bedpan McMahon, for when Austin smacked McMahon upside the head with a hospital bedpan. 18 years ago today, the more you know.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, you look back at the network, I believe that show will be dated for October 5th of 1998, but still. What a great, great show that it was. And
well, 11 years ago today, history was made in OVW, Ohio Valley Wrestling, when CM Punk won his debut match over Danny Inferno. CM Punk debuting in OVW 11 years ago today. And 9 years ago today, The Game Plan, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson, finished the weekend as the top grossing movie in the country, taking in just under $23 million, or about the budget of the movie itself. So Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, went on to becoming the current number one earning actor in Hollywood, earning over $64.5 million every year. The Rock, I smell what you're cooking, buddy. 7 years ago today, WWE taped their Decades of SmackDown special celebrating 10 years on the air from the TD Bank North Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. In the show's main event, John Cena, The Undertaker, and DX, Triple H, and Shawn Michaels, they defeated CM Punk, The Legacy, Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, and Ted DiBiase. And a special shout out to Big T's friend, Candice LeRae, because it is her 31st birthday. So her and Johnny Gargano, I'm sure, are celebrating in Orlando.
I think we could all bank on that. Well, I gotta say, man, all those moments you spoke of bring back memories to me. And yes, big happy birthday to Candice LeRae. But I gotta say, they bring back great memories, like the birth of Mr. Sacco, Bedpan McMahon, you know, all the great stuff, 10th anniversary of SmackDown, just so much history, you know, throughout all these things that we spoke of, and I love it all, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And also, we gotta say, happy birthday, cause 5 days ago, wait, what was 5 days ago? It was the 24th, that was actually Saturday, 5 days ago, Stephanie McMahon turned 40 years old, so we gotta wish Stephanie a happy birthday. 40 years old and getting better and better, like a fine wine. But other than that, wonderful, wonderful, you know, history, a bunch of good stuff. I wish that the week recap, you know, could have been better with Clash of Champions and Raw, but it didn't really stand out. SmackDown was the big standout this week, but before we go on and head this show completely into the sunset, Evan, do you got any final words that you want to say? And same with Sean.
Not really, man. It was a great show tonight. You guys
Hey, we're glad to have you, man. I'm glad that you were able to make it and be a part of this. And this is, your first podcast in a couple months, probably, right?
Yeah, probably since August or July, something like that.
He was here last week.
I'm talking full podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I know Evan was here last week. You were here, Evan, for Raw and SmackDown, was it?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay. So, yeah, you were here last week, but you didn't have a full, you know, a full show. Awesome. For a couple months, and I'll tell you, it was great. I had fun.
Yeah, I'd just like to close out myself by saying thanks, Evan, for joining us here tonight, and thanks, Big T, for hosting another awesome edition, big number 20 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. Here's to 20 more. We will catch you down the line, everybody. Have a great week. Peace and love.
Yeah, you know, next week will be another big one. We're going to have No Mercy preview and predictions. We're going to have, you know, all kinds of good stuff, your regular Raw and SmackDown recaps. I don't know if I'll have any news on Bound for Glory, because honestly, I don't know if it's going to happen, because I was planning on doing maybe like a Bound for Glory recap and news and rumors, but with all of this uncertainty surrounding TNA and Bound for Glory, I don't know what to tell you guys. So we got to play it by ear. We got to see what's going to happen. And, we'll go about it that way. But anyway, I know, Evan and Sean, you guys could stay on with me. But before I sign out, Sean, what's it about time for here?
E-Z-3.
Yes, sir. That's what we got time for
here.
That
was my best Kane impression.
Hey, you did all right, man. Well, I gotta say, you know, EC3, I hope that everything goes well. I hope that Bound for Glory can happen. I hope that EC3 gets his title shot against Bobby Lashley and wins it and becomes champ. But, you know, we'll see what happens, ladies and gentlemen. If Bound for Glory happens, I'll make some room for it, maybe like a news and rumors or something next week. But I got to play it by ear and really, you know, see what is going to happen, because there is a lot of uncertainty right now. And even with Billy Corgan being the president of the TNA, he doesn't even know what's going to happen. So there's a lot taken to consideration there. But beyond all that, had a great week witnessing SmackDown Live in Cleveland, Ohio. They also had a special pre-sale for Raw tickets. Raw the night after the Royal Rumble. Monday Night Raw, Monday, January 23rd, live, Quicken Loans Arena, Cleveland, Ohio. I got myself 6th row seats, center of the ring, so I'll be there night after the Royal Rumble for Royal Rumble Fallout to get you extensive coverage on that road to WrestleMania 33. But this wraps up.
Sixth and center.
Yep, sixth and center. Sixth row and right in the center, so hopefully Stephanie will be there. I might have to hold up a big sign that says, I love Stephanie McMahon, but we'll see what happens when we get there. Other than that, this wraps up episode number 20 of Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling Podcast. Leave your likes, leave your comments, hit that subscribe button on YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, Podomatic, make sure you subscribe, give that 5-star rating, all that good stuff. We'll be back next week for episode number 21 with No Mercy preview predictions, along with Raw, SmackDown recaps, all the good stuff, news and rumors, everything that you want to hear. But until then, before we get to episode number 21, we got to wrap up episode number 20. And how do we wrap up episodes every week here on Beyond the Ring of Big T Wrestling Podcast? But with the 2-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion and current number one contender for the TNA World Heavyweight Championship at Bound for Glory, if it happens, Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III, taking us on out into the sunset to wrap up episode number 20. So until next week, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching and for listening to episode number 20 of Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. I really appreciate it, and I will see you probably sometime next week for Raw and SmackDown reviews, and then episode number 21 of the podcast. So thanks for watching episode number 20. We'll see you for episode number 21 next week. And boom, there's Mr. EC3 for us to close up the show. So we're going to go ahead and do that right now. So again, guys, thank you very much for tuning in. We'll see you next week for episode number 21 of the podcast. And here's EC3 to wrap up episode number 20 of the podcast. Take care. Have a great night. And we will see you next week. Here's Mr. EC3 to send us on home. And we'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.
Well, this is EC3 of TNA Wrestling, and you are so very fortunate because you are watching Beyond the Ring with Big T.